Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Liberty Plays podcast. My name is Eric Stahl, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 8. Joining me around the table, immediately to my left, is...
My name is Jacob Irish. I am the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
My name is Dana Olson. I am the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and the director of chapter development for the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
I am Joe Keel, treasurer for Peoria.
All right. I do want to apologize. We normally do an episode every month after the monthly meetings, but Jake and I actually stepped out. We were out of town, so I guess without us, they can't have a podcast.
That's
Jake.
Right. No podcast without us.
All right. Do want to remind you that we do meet on the second Thursday of every month at W.E. Sullivan's at Peoria Heights. Meeting time is 7 o'clock, and everybody is welcome, so we would love to have you up here. The big news tonight, I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on, but to me, Jake, was you standing in for our chairman, Donnie, and holding the sacred gavel of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. How'd that feel?
The gavel was a lot of fun, you know. I'm not gonna lie, it was a good feeling. I've always enjoyed public speaking. I got the agenda tonight. Donnie, you're definitely missed, sir. But no, it felt good, and I thought we had a really good meeting.
Yeah.
I thought
it was really good together.
Well, thank you, Dana.
Yeah, I think you did a good job. Yeah.
I think this meeting was a bit quicker tonight too.
It was definitely.
You know, I got that feedback that I am less chatty. So Donnie can take notes.
Anyway, so we miss you, Donnie, and we know that
we do.
First listen on this episode will probably be Donnie.
he actually messaged me and said, I'm actually excited to get to listen, so...
We should have live-streamed it. You could just sit there and be our...
Oh, man.
All right, so it was an exciting meeting tonight. I'll just run through a few of the highlights, and hopefully you guys can elaborate on it. Maybe some announcement stuff here. The pub crawl, that was new to me tonight. Jason Spires is not with us tonight for the meeting. And Eve brought some news. You guys can have a pub crawl and kind of a going away party.
So it's next Saturday, the 18th. It's kind of short notice. We got some T-shirts, $15 a piece for them. It's a going away party. We're going to call it the Freedom Tour. We're going to be inviting the newer chapters to us, McLean County, Stark County. Kind of all get together. It will start at W.E. Sullivan's, and we'll kind of go from there. I think the plan right now is to end at Tannen and Hobbs. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know Jason, you should. By God, if you've been following the Libertarian Party of Illinois, you have to know who Jason is. But definitely a force in the Peoria group, and he's headed out to California to go to California, right?
Yep.
Yes. Stanford.
Stanford to go to college, so he's going to be greatly missed. So this should be a good time to send him off. Other news also, the Morton Pumpkin Festival. We are going to be marching in that parade. Good job on whoever signed that up. And
Donnie.
Donnie?
/ Eve.
Oh, shut up. Don't. He's not here. We can't give him credit for anything.
Eve did it.
All right. Eve.
Eve got that spent in. A lot of time collecting that, getting that done.
Okay. That's great. That's on September 15th. The Morton Pumpkin Festival is probably one of the bigger festivals in downstate Illinois, so that'll be fun. And I think we've got all of our candidates coming.
Yep. That's what I heard. Yep. They've been confirmed, but we'll wait till the day of.
We'll wait till they are. I imagine they'll be here. All right. So for the big news in the meeting tonight. I don't even want to say it. We had an endorsement.
Yeah.
It never happens. I'm going to let you tell us everything happened there because you got the letter from Donnie. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So tonight, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria has voted unanimously, I'm very excited about, to publicly endorse Sheriff Brian Asbell for Peoria County.
Mm-hmm.
He visited us, I believe it was in June. Was it June's meeting?
It's a couple months ago,
visited.
Yeah.
We've had both candidates visit, Brian Fingle and Brian Asbell. And Asbell, by far, just the libertarian values that we portray and definitely advocate for, he just leans that way much more. And I was happy to see that it was a unanimous vote. Everyone was down for it. Donnie wrote a very nice letter you know, talking about it. And I think Donnie made a really good point in his letter when he said, I think, you know, us doing it publicly isn't just an endorsement for libertarians. It's also an endorsement for independents. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can move the liberty movement that we all strive for in the right direction. So I felt really good about it.
Yeah. And a bit of background on Asbel, too. I mean, why is he so qualified for this? I mean, for one, he's come up from the bottom. He's been in every position, right, as far
yeah,
as...
Yeah, I think pretty much in the sheriff's department, yeah.
Yeah, been in every position. A lot of programs to diminish what... I'm going to screw up the word.
Rehabilitation?
No.
What's the word?
Recidivism. In fact, I told you it screwed up.
We can edit that part, but I probably won't.
he's done a lot of work to reduce people from going back in to prison. Yeah,
I think he spoke at our last couple months ago. He said, you know, when he was a deputy or working in the jail system, there was like 900 people incarcerated in the jail, and he's brought that down to, you know, in the 300s, and he really mm-hmm. his focus is the violent offenders, you know, the ones where there is victims.
Yes.
And then the shift toward rehabilitation, and you know, you don't want to punish someone, because sometimes what feels like a very short, oh, this person served 6 months, it actually ends up being a life sentence, and you've handcuffed someone for their life. And,
yeah.
He's an advocate against that. So
speaking of his own advocacy, he wrote the letter to Bruce Rauner on behalf for Jason Spires.
Yeah, and he was not asked to do that.
No,
he actually approached Jason. We won't talk too much detail about it, but Jason shared the letter with our group, and what a well-written letter. If I was, you know, governor, no governor could ignore a letter from a sheriff the way he wrote that about Jason, so... Yeah, it's very, very special to us in the Peoria chapter.
That's
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, and that had nothing. I don't think any of us even really knew about that.
No,
yeah,
no, like, it was. It wasn't until after we voted to endorse him that, you know, when he actually showed up to the meeting, mm-hmm. that I spoke and said personally thanked him for writing that letter.
Yeah. Another thing I like about Asbel too, he's very progressive on the work release program, working with the local businesses, trying to make sure that people actually have an occupation when they leave. You know, instead of just dumping them on the street or putting them in a halfway house, he's very active with trying to get them back in the community. Because a job, like you were saying before, I mean, that's your first step into being a real citizen when you're back out. So you got to make money, you got to be able to afford a lifestyle. And if you can't do that, you're just going right back in, right? Yep. Recidivism.
Yeah, recidivism. and the just
the
one last thing, you know, he acknowledged the less of the incarceration rate. How much money that has saved Peoria County specifically.
Yeah.
And that's a priority for him in general.
Absolutely. And he has made cuts without sacrificing the services that we have.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, as I recall.
Yes. I think upwards of close to $1 million. Don't quote me on any of this. But I think his message is really clear. You know, he made a very big point and said the largest expense is incarceration, and it's cut in half. I mean,
that's pretty big.
Crime rate hasn't been cut in half, but the incarceration rate's cut in half. And I think that has a lot to do with his philosophy.
Yeah. But I think it also says something if, you know, the crime hasn't increased, if it's been stagnant, mm-hmm. the rate has been stagnant, but the incarceration rate has gone down. Yeah. Like, that says something a lot.
That says that is the sheriff's department doing... Mm-hmm.
Well, I also believe that what you do today will literally translate for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So if he does this for the next 5, 10 years, I mean, this literally will have effects for decades to come. Mm-hmm.
Precisely. And he hasn't been in there that long either.
No.
Right.
He hasn't been there that long.
All right, so we got our bills.
So, our guest speaker, Dave LaHood, tonight.
That's so, a good segue. Dave LaHood is running for a county board seat. What are there, 18 or 20 of these county board seats?
There's too many.
There's a lot. but Dave is a local businessman. He came in tonight and spoke in front of us. I'm not going to say this guy's a career politician by any means. You know, he came in Very, very simple, very plain-spoken man. I say simple, complimentary.
He keeps describing himself as just a regular guy. He said that about like five different times.
You can tell.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm just making a statement. Sorry.
Whatever, Dana.
Here we go.
We're all drinking White Russians.
Yeah. Except me. I'm
oh, well, I mean.
The beer drinker. She's the plainest person here. Really.
The dude
just
abides.
A regular woman. What are you going to do?
I think he came off a little strange for some of us, because when somebody says they're Republican but they're not that different than a Libertarian, they try and throw a couple examples out. I could see the toes curling on a couple people in the group.
Yeah.
And so,
I
know exactly where Dave was coming from. I didn't want to stand there and help him, and he almost seemed kind of like he needed help at a couple points. The guy is pretty green as far as a politician goes, but I feel like the local Republican candidate is not a social Republican, a socially conservative Republican. He is basically a fiscal conservative. And to him, he ties himself, you know, aligns himself with libertarians. And I think that's hard when somebody who's a Republican says, oh, I'm just like you guys. That's where people start freaking.
Yeah, I think.
He brought the pocket constitution to.
Yeah.
And he read it before our meeting.
I really liked that he made a point to research libertarians and what we're about, and he really, I think he found the 80%, the 80-20% we always talk about, the 80% of what we agree on, and as libertarians we talk a lot about, hey, everyone's a libertarian, they just don't know it yet. And I think his statement of we're the same doesn't come from him thinking, well, libertarians are the same as Republicans. It may have sounded like that. I think it came from he did research and goes, oh my gosh, I do feel that way. So we are.
Yeah.
But I think a Democrat, if they did research, would feel the same way. And I think that's what's special, you know, about our guests that come here and they speak. One thing he did different was he was just open of it. I don't think he knew what a libertarian was. But we have a member of our group, Don. And he had a sign in his yard, and this guy just stopped by and wanted to talk to him, and then he got invited to our meeting and he came. So I think that's a move in the right direction for liberty for sure.
I just kind of want to make one just small pivot towards Damon Dillon's liberty talk, and something that he mentioned was just, you know, simple things that you can do in terms of your activism is just putting a yard sign. Like just putting up a yard sign.
Yeah, how'd that work right there?
And boom. Literally that is a perfect example of how putting up a yard sign, starting a conversation, and he's coming to our meeting and learning more about libertarianism, what we're all about. So just, I just thought that was a perfect example of exactly what Damon was preaching today. So, sorry, let's go back to Dave. I just wanted to throw that
out. No, it's fine because Damon was next on the docket.
Okay. sorry.
No, I think I really did like what I heard from Dave. I think, like I said, he seems a bit green as far as politician goes, but I do like the idea, and I like where he came from when he said, you know, career politicians are not what we want. We need people just to come in and do their time as a citizen, and I got that feeling literally when he was talking about George Washington and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the guy comes from a pure place as far as that goes, so, you know, I didn't feel that cringy politician feel from this guy.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So I wish him luck.
Green.
I'm okay with. I'm happy.
Yeah. No, I appreciated even just kind of some of the things that he was saying, especially about taxes and about how a lot of businesses are leaving Peoria.
Yeah, but then we get into the good guy stuff where he's like, well, what would you do to change that? Yeah. He asked a question.
Well, he said, like, let them feel welcome. Like, I want to make people and businesses feel welcome. I'm like, oh, well, how would you? And I asked him later, I'm like, well, how would you make them feel welcome? He's like, well, you know, being nice.
Start by saying
like,
welcome.
We gotta say welcome. Come here. We'll be welcome. But
in his defense, is anybody doing that?
Somebody
I
has
feel
to.
Like
I'm
there
sure,
are
I'm sure
people.
The chamber would say they're doing something.
But when I was kind
of
looking,
I was a member of the chamber. Let me tell you right now. No.
Okay.
They're not. I think the guy has a point that it you go to a chamber event in Peoria or East Peoria, it's not welcoming. It's everyone giving them, oh, good job, good job. And it's not. He has a point.
But I was, for me, I was looking for a lot more of like a concrete answer, more of, okay, so. And he did actually, he did mention this a little bit later on in terms of he's looking for maybe like a reduction of those taxes in terms of how to actually operate a business. Mm-hmm. He did talk a lot about zoning and licensing and how outrageous it is and everything. And so he did mention kind of those barriers of entry just to start a business in Peoria.
He would know. He's a small business owner.
Exactly. So I think that's something that he, again, it kind of goes back to that little like green a little bit of not maybe communicating that and just kind of like, oh, well, I'm not trying to make people feel welcome. But the main way to make businesses feel welcome is making it easy to do business.
Yeah.
So, and I think
which all sounds like deregulation.
Hell yeah.
Hey, well.
Oh, by the way, ignore that hum in the background. That's not your recording. That is the air conditioner W.E. Sullivan's keeping up tonight.
We need it.
Yeah. pretty compelling. All right, so Liberty Talk. Every month we have a Liberty Talk. That means one of the members steps up and they talk about a different subject. I was here 2 months for John Luck. What was last month's? You two were here. What? Oh, you were.
Was that Jason's thing?
Yes, Jason.
So Jason gave his story that he was going to give.
Are you sure there was a Liberty Talk, or was that just the speaker?
Unless Donnie did something again.
All right,
Donnie did something.
All right, so we'll skip this up there.
Sorry, the white Russian.
I ambushed him. Yeah. All right, so tonight it was Damon Dillon. Damon is our representative from Tazewell County, and he's also our
membership director.
Nick Godfather.
Well, absolutely.
He's also part of the chapter development team for the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
Been a Libertarian since 1989, as he told us tonight.
You know, every time he's done a Liberty Talk, this is the second time.
Captivates the room.
He really does. Everyone's quiet, and you're just focused on listening to him talk. And tonight's talk about activism, and I loved his message at the end that. You can't be an activist enough for a libertarian.
The brick, too.
The brick helped.
That was good.
Everyone be a brick.
Yeah.
Really, his message was clear. It can be as small as a sign in your yard. And I think our guest speaker tonight literally is here because he drove by and asked one of our members who had a libertarian sign on their house, what is that?
Yeah.
And he's a candidate, so...
Yeah, serendipity. It all kind of comes full circle, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
It is, it kind of goes going back to the whole brick thing. Just to explain that metaphor a little bit, what he was trying to say is that every single person, every single brick is important. You put one brick down, it doesn't do anything, it can make a difference. But at the same time, you put all the bricks together, it creates a house, and every single one is important in terms of that collectivism. So, in terms of being active. You can put it do as little as you need to. He even printed out a sheet of just kind of ways to be an activist as well, and just in
awesome.
1 hour a week. And even just like participation, talking to friends, coworkers about your beliefs. I mean, you don't have to necessarily go up to everybody, but if anyone asks you a question or like just kind of bringing that into the conversation, any donations are always definitely welcome. Sending articles, anything like that, but really it can take you can spend as much as you want being an activist, and there's a lot of easy things that you can do that really make a huge difference. And if anyone's interested in this sheet, please let us know, because it's very interesting. And it's just how to promote freedom and advance liberty in 1 hour a week.
You know what? I could make a PDF of that, put it on the webpage too.
Yeah.
So I'll do that.
For sure.
All right,
so let's move on to a little bit of the commentary and news of the past month. Do we want to start with the money bomb, or do we want to start with the cash jackson? What do we want to do?
Let's save the money bomb. Let's
do the money bomb.
You want to do the money bomb?
Let's do it.
All right. So when was it, the money bomb? Last week?
A couple weeks ago?
No, last... When did we meet? Last Wednesday?
It was last week.
Last week was a money bomb. Cash Jackson. I don't know the exact figures or anything. I just know that I caused a little bit of an uproar in the last podcast in terms of my comments.
Let's talk about what this. In case you don't know what the money bomb was, it was a social media engagement with all the people, Libertarian Party of Illinois. And how long did it last? 2 hours?
A few hours,
A few hours. And we literally had a round robin of every candidate. I missed Cash. I got on during Brian and Claire, caught some of them. Brian was compelling as hell. I was just listening to him like, man, he should have been running for governor. You know. But, you know, seriously.
No, I thought so, too.
Yeah, he was great. And was everybody, I mean, Duttner on there? And who else did we have run around that? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Claire on there. And then I got on there a lot when Jason was speaking.
Okay.
You know, he had stopped by our marketing meeting before he jumped on that. And, you know, he made a compelling argument when he said the first person to donate $250, I'll match. Well, I was the one. I said, all right, well, it has to come from Peoria, right?
Right.
So there it was. And that was the first time that I felt that, you know, anyone's asked, like, straight up come out and said, hey, we need money for this. And been kind of waiting for that. I thought it was good.
Hey, and good on you for pitching in there. Because I think the total effort raised, what, almost $5,000 or what?
I'm not for sure. The last I saw was like $3,500, and okay. Jason had told me that he hadn't put his money in yet, and
okay.
I didn't get the final numbers. But you know, just doing basic math, that it was good. I felt thought it was good, but that's, I guess, I haven't really heard much since. Has anyone heard much since?
It's only been a couple days, so I'm not freaking out about that. We can move on to the next subject where I am a little bit freaked out, I guess. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So our governor candidate made the news in the last week.
Locally.
Well, Nash.
Well,
I would argue
he's made it, but it was posted locally, and yeah. I know we have all at this table have already been hearing about it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Friends and family.
Tonight I picked my kids up from my mom's house, as I do every night, and she said, well, what are you doing? I said, oh, I got a meeting, Libertarians. Oh, your candidate really screwed up. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. Apparently a news I got through. Cash is battling a child support case. There was a threat that he may actually go to jail. I think he owes $6,000 or something like that. And it's made news everywhere. And I guess the part that really drives me nuts is when I Google my candidates, I just look for the news articles. So many of these news companies now are linked. So the State Journal Register is the same newspaper owner as a Journal Star, as this paper, whatever. So it's the same friggin' article that's passed all the way through the state and all these different newspapers. The same message getting pushed through, and it just goes like wildfire all the way across the state.
I just want to say that not all press is good press. I'll just leave it at that. We always seem to cause a riff. I know not a lot of people listen to the podcast, but we always seem to cause some kind of drama. I'll use the word drama. I know I've been
that's one way to
called out, had little pity party stuff talking on Facebook, but. I don't know where I'm going with this. Other than, it makes a difference. And to have your family, you know, I'm going to a Libertarian meeting. Oh, your candidate really messed up. It's a different kind of defense.
Well, it was. I think I heard the exact same thing when the Aleppo moment. I think my mom said the exact same thing when Aleppo happened. You know, and I don't want to equate the two. I think Aleppo was just a. Was a shitty question, but this is a bomb that's been waiting to hit for a while, I think.
And you know, we can talk about like, oh, we knew it was coming, you know, don't get in the fight if you're not ready to take some punches, kind of mentality, and that I've seen, you know, Cash say, and that does go so far, but when it comes down to that personal, damn. That's all I can say. Damn.
Yeah. Because that, you know, and like you said, you have that story, Eric, and it's not the only one where I have people that I have built up. You know, look at these three candidates. This was back during the debate before we even chose Cash for our candidate. And they were looking at him. They were watching all the debates between Scaro Stewart and Cash, and they had their choice. They liked Cash. They're like, well, yeah. I hope he gets it. I'm excited about him. And then within the last month or so, it's a lot of eye rolls.
It's concerning.
A lot of ickiness.
The general consensus is get this sorted out and then focus on the state of Illinois.
Right. And that's what I feel that it's turning into lacking. Where when we talk about going up for the fight, what are we fighting?
Well, something that I think they should maybe pay priority is the media team and the press, like the people that are kind of responsible in that team. It's just maybe I know I'm gonna this is the controversy part, but I guess just I feel like I haven't really seen a lot of controlling of the narrative. I've seen a lot of the negatives, a lot of like, oh my gosh, like what is this? You know, like if you don't like the way the story is being told, like change it. Give them another story, change the narrative. And I feel like I haven't seen as much of a response, but I, like from the team and the campaign, but I've seen a ton of responses from Cash himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of them I don't necessarily agree with. I don't think that they're very well thought out. And I think especially on social media, people kind of, they take that step back and they feel like it's not a public message, you know, or just kind of like, oh, we're having a conversation, but it's still viewable by everybody in the entire world. And that's something that I think that the media team on the Cash campaign, you need to control the narrative a little bit better, but also I feel like Cash needs to take a step back from social media, and this is something we've said time and time again, of taking a step back from social media, not responding in some of these aggressive manners, and that's what I've been seeing.
Right now it's just like, you've been punched, you're on your heels, you know, you can't start spouting off a bunch of stuff. And honestly, the social media stuff doesn't matter to the voters out there. The newspaper articles that you're Googling right now and that all of our people are seeing in the local rags and newspapers, that's what matters. So controlling the narrative and having a press release or having something where it's actually a formal conversation about what happened or his side would probably go miles and miles to help him. Certainly bring on, you know, no, not everybody is logging into Libertarian Party or Cash Jackson's Facebook page to watch these videos.
No.
So you're going to have to step outside your comfort zone here and play like adults, I think. I mean, we can't do this.
Yeah. And what's unfortunate is that people remember the bad 10 times more than they remember the good.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying, because I've seen a lot of things that the Cash campaign has done, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. And like, TV commercials, all of these like ads that everyone's doing, these photo shoots, these money bomb, like I think that they're doing great. I think this is something that is a problem because it'll kind of eclipse a lot of the good that's happening right now. And again, it's just controlling the narrative.
Now, one thing also, when I was Googling my candidates, nothing for Claire and Steve. I don't know if that's just a product of them being overshadowed or anything. I think maybe we're in just like a little bit of a lull time. We got some money, got some recharge time mentally, but I think it's even more important right now with what is going on with Cash for those two candidates to at least come out of the shadow and make sure people know who they are. Because I really don't want to be lulled.
Think about who is Claire's campaign manager and who is Cash's campaign manager. Yeah. I feel like that has something huge to... in terms of your response, like that's it's because that we don't have a lot of dedicated effort to either of those campaigns, so a lot of it is just a combination and rather than a separate push. So
I can see that. I see what you're saying there, but I'm just with there. Like you Google them, and people, I mean, let's be honest, they use Google. I mean, that's just, you know, people don't say I searched for it. They say I Googled it.
I asked Jeeves about it.
No one asks Jeeves anymore.
Nobody's asked Jeeves in 10 years.
So I think, you know, Eric's bringing up a good point that we talk about. I just, let's reinvigorate those campaigns. I think Claire is just, you know, she says it, qualified, not connected. I mean, come on. It's a great,
easy to petition for Claire. People wanted to sign the petition. I would mention Claire's name, one, sometimes they've actually heard of her, two, just talking a little bit, just like that 30-second elevator speech about her, they're like, oh my God, she sounds great. Like, she is so much of a marketable candidate, and I definitely want her to step out of the shadows, because people want a better option. They do. They want a better option. You tell, and even with the budget crisis, that's still a fresh wound, this position is more important than ever. And just having her out there is just so important. And expanding her growth is just, yeah, more important than ever.
Well, I had a note about Sam McCann, but I don't know that I want to speak too much on that right now. We can touch base on it later.
Sam who?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I'm going with it, because I really think this is all going to blow back. And where it ends up for Pritzker and Rauner, I have no idea. But this McCann thing is just going to turn into a big can of worms. By the time. I see like can of worms, McCanns.
It's a McCann of worms.
And that's all the main stuff I had. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we kill the show?
I just wanted to say, you know, only because I caused a little bit of a stir during petition drives on my comment.
He's smiling as he talks.
And I'm doing it because I know the money bomb was successful, and that was like the real first time that they publicly were asking for donations. And I just wanted to say that, you know, regardless of someone's position, like myself, I was the advocate for why aren't they raising money? Why are they making people feel bad about not getting petitions they could be paying for? I was an advocate for the money side of things because I still believe, and I've said, I kind of misquoted myself. I said you could raise $100,000 before you raised 100 hours of volunteer effort. But after seeing the money bomb, I'm going to stick to the $100,000 for before you get 100 hours of volunteer effort. I think even if they, you know, they spent 2 hours, and I know they raised over 2,000. I mean, that was pretty fast. I mean, basic math.
Well, it goes back to activism and how little in the brick.
Activism. I just wanted to, you know, my message is we can't be afraid to ask for donations if we're using it. And I think those advertisements were very useful. I have watched Cash's. It's been posted now. It is good. It's great. And I was glad to be a part of it. And I know the PRA chapter was. But that wouldn't have happened just by volunteers. It required money. So don't be afraid to ask for money. And most importantly, don't be afraid to donate. It's definitely worth the cost.
We all good?
Agreed.
Yep. Everybody?
Yep.
All right. So our next meeting for the party is tentatively scheduled as the second Thursday in September. That would be September 13th, 7 o'clock here at W.E. Sullivan's. Again, we hope everybody comes out. We don't have our guest speaker lined up yet, but keep an eye on our Facebook page and our webpage. Also, we'll have those documents that we talked about earlier. I put those on the webpage. And
next Saturday. August 18th.
Yes. Bar crawl. Freedom. The Freedom Tour.
Freedom Tour 2018.
Where? What time?
I think it was 6.
I think it starts at 6. Eve has the details.
It'll be a Facebook event.
We love you. Don't be upset at it.
I think it does start at 6, starting at W.E. Sullivan. So if it hadn't before, it will now.
Should be a great time. If there's ever a group to drink and crawl around Peoria with, it's definitely the Libertarians.
So amen.
All right, and where are we going to post everything at, kids? What's the name of the website?
LibertyPlays.com.
We got to do it again because Joe did not. What's the website, kids?
LibertyPlays.com.
Thanks,
I really
Joe.
Thought y'all were going to be quiet for that one.
We can. No. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.